everyone. Welcome back to another episode of the Motherhood Adventure Podcast. You guys, I can't say this enough. This has been an awesome month focusing on life coaching and having a super fun time sitting down and chatting with my sister. Yay. All about life coaching and learning more about the brain and how we function and whatnot. And it's just been such a fun experience. Hopefully you ladies have listened to the other episodes. I guess I'll reintroduce my sister. Her name is Amanda. She is a life coach extraordinaire in my eyes. I have to turn to her sometimes and be like, Amanda, I need life coach Amanda and I need sister Amanda sometimes. So
yes,
two different I get hats. The best of both worlds. Yeah. Anyway, like we talked about on the last episode, this episode is all about relationships. So spouse, kids, friends, in-laws, and even the relationship that we have with ourselves. So we know that this is probably going to be a longer, deeper episode. So hopefully you guys have a larger mound of dishes in the sink to listen to us with, or a bunch of laundry to fold, because we're going to dive in deep and hopefully you get a lot of chores done while you're walking around the house listening. That's what I do with podcasts. Anyway, okay. Amanda, I've been doing plenty of talking. So where would you like to start with relationships? Should we define like what a relationship is in the life coaching world? Is that a good place?
Yeah, let's start. Okay.
Sweet.
So how we define a relationship in the coaching world is I wouldn't say it's super specific, but it's specific. And there are four different parts of it. Okay. So the first part is your thoughts about yourself. So your thoughts about yourself affect all of your relationships, not just your relationship with yourself, but your relationship with anyone or anything. Okay.
Okay.
The second part of relationships is your thoughts about the other person or the other thing. Sometimes I mean, we all have relationships with other things, like people who build businesses, or there's lots of things you have relationships with, but mm-hmm. for this specific episode, we're just going to talk about other people. Ourselves,
I like
and
it.
Other people.
Let's keep it simple.
Yeah,
let's keep it simple. Deep enough. Yeah.
First, your thoughts about yourself. Second, your thoughts about the other person. Third, what you think the other person thinks of you. Okay, stay with me. Mm-hmm. And then the fourth thing is what the other person actually thinks of you. Okay?
Okay.
So those are the four different parts of a relationship. And there are only three of them that you can control, right? Out of those four things, you can control three of those, right? You can control your thoughts about yourself. You can control your thoughts about the other person, and you have control over what you think the other person thinks of you, right?
Yes.
All of those live in your brain, right? So what I like to do when I'm life coaching is tell people, you know what? Just drop the fourth one. Because what the other person actually thinks of you, first of all, it's none of your business unless they tell you. Then you say, okay, cool. That person thinks this of me. I'll put that in the third section of what I think the other person thinks of me. I can just shove it in there, right?
Yeah.
But what the other person actually thinks of me is none of my business. If they
Boy,
want
that
me
is
to,
hard.
Yeah, I know. But it creates a lot of anxiety for people just living in the realm of, oh no, this other, what this person actually thinks this and this does it, right? Like they get to number three and it just becomes this horrible mess. So I would say stay out of the lane of obsessing over what people actually think of you and stay in your realm of control, right? The first three facets of the relationship. Okay. And that's the reality of the relationship as well. I mean, three out of four, that's most of a relationship, right?
Yeah.
So you're creating what that relationship is by the things you're thinking in your head. That's just the reality.
Yeah. I mean, it makes sense. I mean, it's, you know, it's not a signed piece of paper that's like, all right, we are in a relationship. Like, this is our relationship. It's just like you said, it's your thoughts about a person. Mm-hmm. That is what creates a relationship, as basic as that is.
Yeah. And I think just to give you guys an example, think about I don't know. Think about high school, where there is that one person who thinks you're friends, but you're kind of just annoyed by them, right? I had some people that would just would come up to me and they think we're friends and they want to talk to me all the time. And it'd be like, I think you're a nice person, but we're not really friends. You know what I mean? So like relationship in their brain was different than the relationship in your brain, right? Mm-hmm. So the reality of a relationship exists separately in each other's brains. Even in a marriage, you guys, even in a marriage, like there could be one partner who thinks the marriage is amazing and the other partner could be thinking, this is horrible. I don't, that like things need to change, right? That's why some people are surprised by the other spouse wanting a divorce. They're blindsided by it because they think the relationship is great. Why? Because a relationship lives in your head.
Yeah, it makes sense.
Yeah. So that's just, hopefully that will clear up all of that woogly googly facets.
Ooh, I love that word.
The four facets of a relationship. Everybody goes, whoa, wait a minute, what? Hopefully no, that no, no. clears
we're
gonna that up.
We're going to keep woogly googly.
Hopefully the woogly googly is more cleared out. Okay.
Gosh.
So the next thing that people want to know, right? We're all about wanting to improve relationships. So people will come to me and they think, they're like, oh, my relationship with my kids isn't great. Or I really just don't know how to have a better relationship with my mother-in-law. She drives me crazy. I just don't know what to do. And so the first question I would have is like, well, what does the relationship look like right now? That's always the first question. It's like, what do you think is the problem here? What's the problem in the relationship? And, you know, they'll just give it all out to you and you start coaching from there. But when it comes to relationships, there is a metaphor that I use. So I'm just going to dive right in, if that's okay.
Yeah.
Okay, let's do this. So I like to think of relationships as gardens. Okay. Lots of little different gardens in your brain, and every relationship that you have is a little garden, okay? So if you want to improve a relationship, the first step is to go into that garden in your brain and look around. Like if it's a dumpster dive, you got some work to do, right? But if it looks good, like there aren't weeds growing and you've trimmed the trees and all the different things, then you're probably in a good space. And you're going to know the difference. Like even before you go hang out in the garden, you're going to know whether or not it's a crap dump or not. Just we know, right? We know. It's like, oh yeah, this relationship is amazing. And then you go to the next one and it's like, oh yeah, my relationship with my mother-in-law, this is... I haven't been here in a while, right? So that's the first thing. Go mentally into that relationship garden and you look around and like, okay, there's some work to be done. And the second part is to kind of make peace with what it is. That's the second. Like, look at what it is the first step. Second step, make peace with what it is. Like, how did it get to be like this? Well, because I've been neglecting it a little bit. And because I've been letting bad thoughts, like just Harry Carey, grow around in here. Like there are thoughts I've just been let floating around, or influences that have not been great. And I haven't been protecting my garden or done anything in here. So, okay, it is what it is. No judgment. If there's judgment involved, it's just going to be a mess. It's going to make it worse and you're not going to want to work there and you're going to continue to avoid it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So that's the second step. Like, make peace with what it is and get out of judgment zone, because that's never a useful place to come from, especially if you're trying to improve something. Okay. The third thing you want to do is decide what you want to get rid of and decide what you want to keep. Okay. So are there thoughts that you want to keep about this specific person? And are there thoughts that you want to get rid of? Like with your mother-in-law, you can decide, I'm just going to continue thinking that she hates me. I'm just going to, you know, I'm just keep that one. Or you can decide, I'm going to have a good conversation with her and maybe find out what she actually thinks. Or I'm just going to decide, maybe she just needs to get to know me better, or, you know, different things. Mm-hmm. So make decisions about what you want to keep and what you want to get rid of, or what you want to change. That's basically like, what do I want to change in here? I know it's here. I've accepted it for what it is. And now I'm going to just make some decisions about what I want to change. Okay. And then the fourth thing to do is to change them. It's like, intentionally make some decisions about what you want to be thinking. Like, write them down, you guys. Get out a notebook. Write down what you're currently thinking. Choose which ones you want to keep and which ones you want to get rid of or improve. And then write down the intentional thoughts you want to grow in your garden. So I like to think of thoughts as, they can either be weeds or they can be flowers or useful things like vegetables, right? Some of them take more care than others. We can extend the metaphor, but we don't need to, right? It's like, the thoughts that aren't useful are weeds, obviously, and the thoughts that are useful are flowers because they're beautiful, or they're vegetables and they nourish you, right? We want to extend the metaphor again. So choose what you want to plant in your garden. And then the last thing to do is to spend time in that relationship garden. Because if you like do all this work to improve it and then you start to ignore it again, the weeds are just going to come back. And it's going to go right back to what it was. You have to intentionally spend time improving that relationship by intentionally thinking things over and over and over and over and over again. And also be aware of old thinking that creeps back in and old weeds that we thought were gone, but they grow back because that's what they do. They're weeds and they have deep, sometimes they have really deep roots. And you have, you know, a lot of evidence in your brain supporting that thought that just keeps popping up that is creating some bad things in a relationship. I know that's a really dumbed down way of improving a relationship, but that's really, it's that simple, honestly. Now, are there going to be some things in a relationship that are hard to get around? Of course, especially in marriages, they're intricate things. But remember, 3/4 of your relationship with your spouse, your partner, is in your head. So if you want to improve it, you're going to have to spend some time thinking and being intentional instead of just letting your brain run harry-carry around in there. Okay.
I would love to okay, so we're going to dumb it down even more if you can believe that just for me. Okay. So I'm in my garden. Let's talk about those repeating thoughts in our heads of things that we're trying to prove to ourselves and, you know, the really deep weeds and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. Can we put like a real life example of that? So so we're doing a spouse and maybe, what's a good thing to bring up with a spouse with relationships or something on? There's probably a million things, but I'm like, let's just try to keep it simple.
There's one that I have to talk to people all the time. So I do weight loss coaching. That's part of what I do. It's not the only type of coaching that I do, but I do quite a bit of weight loss coaching, and there are some wives, right? I work with women and they'll come to me and say, my husband is making this impossible. And they'll start talking about husband keeps bringing home donuts and he keeps, you know, he has to have his glass of wine every night or right. They bring up all of these things and like at tea, he always brings these cakes. So I have a lot of clients in the UK. So they talk about tea cakes and, you know, crisps and all the different things. And it's funny. It's like, well, why do you think your husband's doing that? Well, he's just not supportive. That's where they go, right? That's their thought about it. Yeah, it's automatic. He's just not supporting me. He's not being a supportive husband. It's like, well, do you think he goes to the grocery store and buys these things because he's thinking, this is a way to not support my wife? And they're like, well, no, he's probably thinking, ooh, I know she really likes these. And I really like these. This is something we can share, right? Ooh, this is something that we can do together and it's going to be so nice, right? That's probably where they're coming from, right? And they think, oh, that's true. They just didn't think about it in that way. So maybe an intrusive thought for them in this situation is, he's not supporting me, right? But
yeah.
The truth of the matter is like, well, maybe he's not even thinking about that when he's at the grocery store. He's just thinking about how much he loves you. And this is one way he shows you that he loves you. And now he's going to have to, you know, figure out different ways. Or you can take it and go, oh, I love you too, honey, but I'm not going to eat these anymore. I'm just going to sit and I'm going to watch you enjoy them. And we can still have a nice tea or whatever, but I'm just not going to imbibe because that's just something I'm choosing. So, I mean, that's very simple. I don't know if I'd call that one of those really deep down ones, but that's something
even something simple.
Yeah.
So we're talking through that scenario of just like, yeah, let's just change your perception of what you're getting out of that. Because like you said, it's probably not what we're thinking at all.
Let me think if I can come up with another, like a personal example. Oh, hopefully my husband never listens to this. So
I know mine doesn't.
So one thing, let me think, that I've had to work really hard on kind of in my relationship garden with my husband, the thought that he thinks I am
too beautiful.
No,
darn it, Amanda.
No, he's seen me in my first states. He doesn't think that anymore. He knows I'm human. Woo, thank goodness. No. No, that I'm irresponsible. Yes. So this is something that's come up a lot in our relationship. And he's told me this before, that he thinks that I'm irresponsible with my time. So it's very specific because I'm late all the time, you guys. It's true. I am. I don't know if I have ADD or what the crap's going on, but I'm late. I'm late to things. I am.
Amanda,
I'm
late. You were raised in with me.
I know.
And I was. It's a family thing.
It is a family thing. But it's a family thing, but it drives my husband crazy because his family is never late to things, okay? Yeah. So my husband grew up in a family that's never late to things, and I grew up in a family where we were late to everything. And mm-hmm. So the fact that we are late to things drives my husband crazy. He hates it. He hates it about me. And so he's told me several times, you're irresponsible with your time. And for a long time, I took that really personally, and I would just like shame and hate myself and like hate him. And there was just a lot of negative emotions and feelings. And something would happen. We would need to be somewhere on time and we'd be 5 minutes late and he'd have a cow. It's like, and for me, it was like, it's 5 minutes. Come on, calm down. Right. And it's not a big deal for me, but for him, it's like, we are late and I can't believe this. And it's always you and right.
Yes.
So there are several ways. I mean, it depends on the situation, but there are several ways I've kind of dealt with it. I've made peace with him having this thought about me because it's true, right? First of all, it's like, you're right. Sometimes I'm irresponsible with my time. And a lot of the reasons for why we're late is because I just wait too long to start getting ready, or I just dither around. I don't know why I do it, but it's just happening. And I try to improve. It's like, you know what? I'm not going to change this about myself for him. Mm-hmm. If I want to change this about myself, I'm going to do it for me. I'm going to do it because I want to. If I'm doing it for another person, that I'm going to feel resentment, right?
Yeah.
That's a whole nother thing. Don't change yourself for somebody else, ladies, or it's just going to create resentment in that relationship, because you'll feel like you're sacrificing who you are or something about you for the other person. And you'll have like, oh, well, if I can change for them, they can change for me. And you'll have these other things. So you're like, well, yeah, I don't like this about you. And I changed this about me for you. So you need to change this about you for me. And it just becomes this black hole of never ending mess. So that was my little left field soapbox on resentment. And how we sometimes create ourselves by changing ourselves for other people. But so I've just had to make peace with the fact that my husband thinks I'm irresponsible with my time and just say, you know what? Yeah, he's right. And it's okay. It doesn't mean there's something wrong with me. It doesn't mean I'm a bad person. It just means, yeah, I'm a human being who's sometimes irresponsible with their time and relate because of me. And it's okay. And I love me anyway.
And I think that's a great way to bring up the number one thing that you talked about with defining relationship is when you talk about your thoughts about yourself. Yeah. And for me, I feel like I'm glad that it's the number one thing, because if you don't really know what your thoughts are about yourself, then you're a lot easier to try to be people pleasing and things like that. And so maybe while we're on that subject, we're in our garden and now we're at the big garden plot of self. Self garden.
It's a big one. It's the biggest one.
I probably neglect the most.
Yeah, you're not alone.
Okay, good.
You're definitely not alone. I promise you. We do a lot of self work. With any client that I work with, there is always self work to be done. Like, self relationship work is probably half of the work that I do, because it bleeds into everything. Bleeds into everything. Every relationship, like I said in the beginning, every relationship that you have, your thoughts about yourself is just that number one thing in that relationship. If you have a negative relationship with yourself, it's harder to have positive relationships with other people.
Oh, yeah. I absolutely agree with that.
It just bleeds into lots of other things. So you have your own self-relationship garden. And as I said in the beginning, it's that if you want to improve your relationship with yourself, you have got to, first of all, find out where you are. It's like, what do I think about myself? And I want you, this is a serious thing. I want you to sit down with a notebook, no joke, guys. Or if you hate that, you can type it. I like to handwrite it. I don't know why.
It's because your handwriting's great.
Oh, it's not though. I just like to handwrite things. So write it down or say it out loud. And record it so you can listen to it. If you don't want to write it, you can say it and record it. And then really read it, really listen to it and decide and you know, be real, like be real about it. Be honest with yourself. Like, what do I think about me? And you're going to have positive things. You're going to have neutral things. You're going to have negative things. And you just write them all down. And then, like I said, the second part is, just accept what it is. It's like, okay, this is what I think about me. And that's okay. It's like, it doesn't mean anything about me if I don't like me right now. It doesn't mean I'm a bad person. It doesn't mean there's something wrong with me. It's a very human thing to not like parts of yourself. Just like we don't like parts of other people. It's completely normal. The fun part is that we can change ourselves and we can't change other people. Sorry, that's the huge bad news of this, podcast. Wait, we can't change other people? Nope. Guys, guess what? The easiest relationship for you to improve is the one with yourself. And that's the most important one as well. Okay.
Yeah,
well, I don't know about easiest. Let's just stick with it's the most important.
Okay, because I was going to be like, I'm
going to retract easiest. It's definitely the most important one.
Yeah.
And if you're trying to improve a relationship with anyone, I would say you have got to do the self work, like your relationship with yourself and your relationship with that other person. You've got to work on both. You can't just do one or the other. You got to work on both. And I would say if you're going to work on any of them, start with yourself first, because that's the first facet of the relationship you have with yourself or anybody else.
Yeah, I have heard that thought. I think that there's a thought, and I can't remember where I've heard it, but it's you are your longest relationship. And so why not make it the best relationship? And I hear it and I'm like, oh yeah. And then I'm like, but we're just also going to toss that somewhere in a dark corner. I know it exists and I know it's there, but I don't want to address it.
Like hard work.
Yeah, exactly. It's so much easier to be a people pleaser.
Yes. Yeah.
But a lot of resentment. I will tell you that. We just kind of pile that on.
Hey, you can live with resentment. I mean, you can. Do you want to, right?
Yeah, true.
Because no, I'm sorry. I haven't found a one person who wants to live with resentment. It's worst. It's the worst. So anyway, yes, make peace with what your relationship is with yourself right now. Okay. Again, if judgment comes into play, that stops your ability to do anything. It stops. It just stops it in its tracks. If you think, well, I should be better and there's something wrong with me, and then you start getting into shame, and it's just, it's a black hole you fall into that it's really hard to get out of.
Mm-hmm. So if you find yourself in a black hole or something like that, and you catch yourself shooting yourself or, you know, shaming, like, what is a good tool to kind of like step out of that? What do you think?
What I like to tell people is, instead of having a negative thought about yourself, try to go 10% less crappy. Like, this is the bridging that we talked about yesterday. Just, you don't have to go from I hate myself to I love myself. That takes time and work and, you know, lots of intentional thinking. But if you can go from I hate myself to I'm not that bad. I'm not my favorite, but I'm not that bad, right? It's like, yeah, just 10% better. And even if you can get yourself from that negative, I hate myself, to the neutral, I am myself. Like, that's a neutral thought,
mm-hmm,
right? It's like, I am me. It's very neutral. I am human. That's a very neutral thought as well. Like, get yourself to neutral. If you can get yourself to neutral, that's, then you're not going to fall into the shame and judgment hole. It's like, no, I'm just a human. That's one that a lot of coaches use to help people from the negative to get to neutral is, I'm human. I'm a human being and I make mistakes and it's okay. Everybody makes mistakes. And who am I to be the one person who doesn't? Sorry, that spot's been taken, in my opinion. We don't need to go off that cliff, but you know what I mean? It's like,
yeah,
there's every human being on this whole planet makes mistakes. And I am one of those people, and that's okay. It's okay for me to have moments of not being my best self. It's okay for me not to love every part of me as well. Okay. This is also another exercise that I give people when they have a really hard time improving their relationship with themselves, is I'll have them get out a picture of themselves when they were like 3 years old and stick it somewhere. And when they start having negative thinking, negative thoughts, a negative mindset about themselves, I tell them, go walk over to the wall where that picture is hanging and tell it to that kid. Tell it to that kid in that picture.
Yuck.
It's like, you're the worst. Why can't you be on time, right? You wouldn't say that to a three-year-old kid.
At least you shouldn't.
Or yeah, if you do, you're a horrible person.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm sure as mothers, we've all had moments like that, but we wouldn't do that, right? We wouldn't do that. Like, just like start yelling at some random little kid who's mm-hmm. just trying to do their best. Like, that's who we are. That's what we are. We're just a human being trying to do our best, and sometimes we don't. And that's okay. So I tell them, okay, if you wouldn't tell it to that person, you wouldn't tell it to that three-year-old you, then I don't want you to tell it to 50-year-old you. Lots mm-hmm. of my clients tend to be in the menopause arena. So I love it. I love these ladies.
I was going to say, like I said, sassy older ladies.
They are.
They're like my favorite.
They're sassy. They're fun.
Best.
They are. They are the best. But I also work with mothers who have young children. And for them, I think that works just as well. Or it's like, if you have grandkids, you know, would you yell this at your grandkid? Well, of course not. It's like, well, then stop saying it to yourself.
Yeah.
If you start having negative self-talk and you really want to keep doing it, I want you to go over to your picture. I want you to start yelling at three-year-old you. And if you can't, perfect. That's what I'm hoping to get you to get out of this exercise.
Then I won.
Then I did it. It's like, oh, what am I? Wait a minute. I'm yelling at me again. Oh, okay. I'm going to stop that. Like, okay, nope, I'm human. have a thought that you go to in those moments when you become aware of what you're saying and thinking about yourself. Have some thoughts. And if it's just the neutral one, great, perfect, that's fine. Like, I'm human and I make mistakes and it's okay. I'm still worthy of space and love and acceptance.
I like that.
Yeah.
That's awesome. This is part one of the relationships episode with special life coach guest, Amanda. Please tune in to part two.